Please be seated. Okay, so let me just start off by saying I acknowledge that there has been a lot of Star Wars talk from up here lately, but I can't look at these verses without thinking about something that resonates rather strongly inside of the Star Wars fandom, which is that the entire universe, the galaxy, was saved because Han Solo stepped on a twig. In Return of the Jedi, Han Solo, one of the heroes, is sneaking up on a stormtrooper, a scout trooper to be exact, and he steps on a twig, and it alerts the scout trooper, and they have a fight, which alerts other scout troopers, and they go fleeing off, and so Luke and Leia go chasing after them on speeder bikes through the forest. It's all very cool, and then Leia falls off of her speeder bike, and she's befriended by Ewoks. If you haven't seen it, Ewoks are like murderous teddy bears, right? And so she goes with the homicidal panda and becomes friends with his people. And when they send out a search party to go get Princess Leia, they make a treaty with these fuzzy cannibals. And together they fight the Empire at the shield generator and blow it up, which drops the shields around the Death Star, which allows the Millennium Falcon to fly inside and blow up the thing, and the galaxy is saved. So, the galaxy was saved when Han Solo stepped on a twig. Led to the sequence of events, the sequence of causality that resulted in this big thing. This bad thing that happened, this small insignificant bad thing that happened, ended up being the best, hugest good thing. And we see these sorts of lines of causality a lot when we look at the world. Even the fact that Star Wars keeps coming up here is part of a chain of causality, right? Nerds like Star Wars, and professors are nerds, and Lutherans are the nerds of religion. And so you are at Bethany Lutheran College. It's like Nerd Square. It's impossible that that's not going to come out up here, right? The causality, when you look at it from outside, just sort of makes perfect sense. And when we add a divine element to it, things really start to get interesting. In our text today, we have this sequence of events, the sequence of causality in the book of Romans. And Romans itself is kind of a long series of causal chains. This is just one of the wheels on which it turns. Our text today is taken from the 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, starting at verse 11, and watch for that causality inside of here. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What our text here outlines for us is a process, a causal process, a process by which one makes believers. Faith doesn't just generally like fall out of the sky. Faith tends to travel and work through God's body, God's church. So let's just really quickly, let's walk through the causal chain that gets set up in our verses today and see how that applies. So first, to call on him, they have to believe. You can't go down the way of life if you don't know which way it is. To believe in him, they have to have heard of him. Faith doesn't grow up and come from a vacuum. It comes from outside of ourselves. A person has to hear the message to become a believer. To have heard of him, someone has to preach to them. With the Greek here, it's really the word proclamation, not just saying something or whispering, it's proudly showcasing this thing, announcing it to people, giving it to them. And to be preached, to someone has to be sent. Again, the Greek here is kind of cool. The word sent here is apostolicon, the same root as apostle, right? So the same duty that's given to the apostles, their namesake, is the one by which we are also sent. And we get sent in a lot of different ways. Frankly, our sending is part of this causal chain of people, of faith being worked in people. And frankly, our part in it almost seems to remind us that it's God and in control of it and not us. We can especially see that just based on what today is, right? Today is St. Patrick's Day. I see a number of you in proud green today. I'm predominantly Irish, but still only just a little bit Irish, but mostly Irish. But anyway, it's St. Patrick's Day, so Ireland is on our mind, and in particular, St. Patrick, who we kind of dig, right? Patrick was born minor royalty, but at a very young age, he was abducted by pirates, which is a great way to start your narrative arc, and he was dragged by these Irish pirates over to Ireland, where he was enslaved for 6 years. But he was also, you know, he was Irish, and so he talked his way onto a boat, and they brought him back to Britain, and he had a series of disasters. He rightly credited God, though, with his escape from Ireland, and he grew deeper in his faith, finally became a bishop in the church, and went back to the people who had kidnapped him and put him in slavery and abused him for all those years. He went back to that horrible, wicked place, and while he was there, he had this string of disasters over. He got driven by these pagans all over the place as he tried to be a missionary in a very hostile land. And while that's all going on, he doesn't even have the support of his superiors. They keep breaking the Eighth Commandment, trying to create some scandal around some of the events of his life. He kept getting gifts from prominent women, right, in Ireland. And, you know, if you're an Irishman, that's just something that happens, you know. But actually, in point of fact, he just had a great ministry with women and slaves in Ireland. Marginalized populations was who Patrick really connected well with. So they kept sending him gifts, and he kept sending them back, but it wasn't a good look. And so they took that in the worst possible way and made problems for him. His superiors did. So nothing he does in his life ever seems to work. But ultimately, it all just does. Everything he tries seems to be met with disaster. And yet, we're here more than 1,000 years later talking about St. Patrick and the conversion of Ireland. Nothing he did worked, and yet the message worked. It's the word that he's preaching that was making the difference. This sending that we're given can feel like we are surrendering an awful lot. It's not hollow words to say, "Here I am, send me." You're acknowledging that there's going to be a lot that you'll have to wrestle with over that. We wrestle with ourselves. We wrestle with the call that we're given. The text that we've got sounds so optimistic in so many ways, but there's this verse right in the middle that doesn't seem to actually fit. It goes, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" In the middle of St. Patrick leading this epic life that led to epic success, it all looked like failure from his perspective, and it oftentimes does for us as well. Being a Christian means taking up a cross that we'd always prefer to put down. But the strength to carry that cross and to move through this sin-sick world and to be sent by our God is given power because we are the beneficiaries of a Christ who would not put down his cross for you and for your salvation. St. Patrick's ministry really should not have worked. It was just the sequence of disasters. But as our text says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Patrick was kidnapped by pirates as a child. That should have been the end of it, but everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Patrick was enslaved. That should have been the end of it. But everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Patrick was in a hostile land where he was driven from place to place by exceedingly hostile pagans. That should have been the end of it. But everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Patrick was falsely accused of all kinds of improprieties by his superiors. That probably should have been the end of it. But everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. The reason that Patrick was successful was because success had nothing to do with Patrick at all. It had to do with the one who sent him. The power of the word that was being proclaimed in Ireland is the power of Jesus to forgive and to save. Verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's Jesus' obedience and perfection, not ours, that won the Father's approval. It's Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, not ours, that paid the ransom for our sin. It's Jesus' perfect death, not ours, that killed death. It's Jesus' resurrection that throws open your tomb and gives you eternal life in heaven. It's Jesus' message and not ours that the Holy Spirit uses to work faith. It's all God. It's all Christ. So when you proclaim him, it is impossible that you will be put to shame, because he's already done the work, and he's doing the work, and accomplishes the ends for which he appoints it. With Christ, the humiliations and trials and struggles and hardships and failures that we endure as humans in a sinful world are transformed into a series of successes worked by God, by which his will is done in the world. When we look at Patrick's life, or really when we look at any Christian life at all, it might look like a sequence of disasters at first, but the outcomes speak differently, actually going beyond even the work that the Holy Spirit is working in others, and also transforming how we view our own lives as those who have been sent. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Patrick's story of tragedy isn't a story of tragedy at all. It's an epic where for centuries people have been writing fan fiction about it, right? Again, kind of like Star Wars. And it transforms how we view our lives as well. At least it informs how we view our own lives as well. As apostles, as those who have been sent by God to proclaim his word, full of the joy of those saved by his name and never to be put to shame. Amen. Please rise. We join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, you have given to us the victory in your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us and strengthen us to live as people who have called upon your name and endure trials as those who cannot be put to shame. In our Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.